All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We're going to take a bit of a more macro view on the markets and also incorporate a lot of the data, some of the central bank expectations coming up throughout the rest of this month and early on into next month, as we are chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also editor of the Mark to Market blog. Mark, when we were talking off mic, you came on the call and you simply said, what a week. Let's recap this week, because we had CPI data come out and we've also just quite frankly had a fair bit of optimism come into financial markets almost across the board. We've had commodities running higher. We've had markets running higher with the tech sector leading it. We've also have Bitcoin closing in on $20,000. Clearly, investors, I guess, either got bored and just wanted to put some money to work, or they figured, let's try to push these markets higher to start off the year. And again, this week we did have CPI data that has come down a little bit, making it seems like everybody expect a 25 basis point hike from the Fed. Mark, in terms of your key recap from this week, what are some keys to take away?
I'd say three big keys. One is that you're right about the CPI. I think that was an important part of market psychology. They were leaning in that direction, so the data wasn't so surprising. But here's what it looks like. What we want to do is not just look at the year-over-year rate, but look at what's been happening, say, a three-month annualized. Three-month annualized rate at a headline, right now, 1.6%. That's down from above 10% in the first half of last year. The core rate, a little stickier, 3.1%. Q4 annualized pace. We saw core good prices, that's excluding food and energy, fall for the quarter. We saw core service prices, excluding shelter, which is a key measure for the Fed, down 1% at an annualized pace in Q4. So lower inflation, lower U.S. interest rates, and this has been a big drag on the U.S. dollar. Second big thing, I think, and maybe a part of the optimism, especially in some of the industrial commodities, the market is looking past the COVID surge in China. Despite the lack of transparency, you've seen a lot of the commodities that China demands, that China is the world's biggest buyer of, like oil, iron ore, steel rebar, copper. These commodities have risen sharply as the market looks past the COVID surge, and foreign investors have been big buyers of Chinese equities. Maybe the biggest buyers this week in, say, since the end of October or so. So we've got, as far as the big key drivers, CPI, China. And the third thing, which I'd say also maybe helping underpin the optimism, is the idea that the Bank of Japan, the last of the central banks with negative interest rates, could raise rates as early as next week. The Bank of Japan is trying to cap its 10-year yield at 50 basis points now. This is since sort of a month ago, late December. They spent $75 billion in the past 2 days alone, that's Thursday and Friday, trying to cap the yields in Japan. And so this kind of optimism that even the last of the negative yielding central banks are going to have to capitulate, I think that's all helped reinforce an optimism. And we've seen some stronger than expected European data, both from the UK, Germany, Italy, and optimism looking past the surge in China. I think all is fueling this idea that maybe the idea of a hard landing receded a little bit, and more people are talking about a soft landing in the US and in Europe.
Boy, Mark, are they ever. We've heard a lot of comments over the last couple of weeks about, hey, maybe they can, quote unquote, thread the needle and we'll have a soft landing in the economy. And all it seems like all we heard about last year was the coming recession, the developing recession, the contracting economy. And then when you look at other data, though, when you look at manufacturing, it's been rough for 10 months. When you look at housing, it's had 6 to 8 months of brutal conditions. When you look at the jobs market, people made a big fanfare about it being in the Goldilocks zone 2 weeks ago. But when you think about what was actually happening, it was a lot of people that had one job that had a second job or lost a job and got two part-time jobs. It really wasn't as rosy as it was presented. And when you look at the hiring in most companies, it's frozen. or they're firing people and there's big layoffs. So are we going to have a soft landing or are we going to have a recession? How are you seeing the economic situation set up?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm still thinking that it's hard for me to see how we get by without a contracting economy. Of course, what makes it particularly difficult, and it's not just in the U.S., but Europe, Japan, Canada, all are reporting fairly robust labor market indicators, whether it's workforce participation, jobs creation. Unemployment is still at relatively low cyclical levels for most of the major countries. And so I think this is helping to like add to the confusion. People are seeing these numbers, realizing how important consumption is, and thinking that maybe we could skirt a harder economic downturn. But I'm looking at two big things. One, from the manufacturing side, industrial side, I'm looking at orders. And orders are not keeping pace with the filling of backlogs. But this means the pipeline is getting thinner. And secondly, just, you know, involved in the capital markets and the yield curve inversions, no matter which ones you want to look at in the U.S., don't just happen with, I mean, the track record of these being able to predict a recession, even with long lag periods, are so great, I'm hesitant to fade them. So I'm still a bit cautionary, which means to me that this enthusiasm we've begun the year with, for me, one of the examples of the enthusiasm that I mentioned to you was that already this year, the Mexican stock market has risen more this year than it fell last year. And we've seen like in some of the risk assets, like in Europe, the 10-year Italian bond yield off 70 basis points this year already. So I think the market might be getting ahead of itself, but it's hard to fight this strong momentum, especially I think in the dollar, where even when you have a pullback, like we saw with the jobs data, we saw with the CPI data, small pullbacks in the foreign currency are being snapped up still. And perhaps the greatest sense, I think, of this optimism, especially in Europe, is that the euro is trading above its 200-day moving average against the Swiss franc for the first time in a couple of years. And this typically is only done when the market feels sort of a low ebb of anxiety about the outlook.
Mark, it seems like everybody, too, carrying this over to the Fed is expecting, banking on a 25 basis point hike. The Fed has said that they're going to be slowing down. The dot plot does show that they do expect to get about 50 basis points from here. But again, markets are doing well, led by some of the worst performing sectors last year, like tech, like Bitcoin. Do you think that 25 basis point hike is going to happen? And do you think that if it does, it even has an impact on the markets?
So I kind of think of it as an odds. And the market says right now, there's practically no chance the Fed does 50 basis points. And I kind of think that the odds are maybe even as high as 50-50. Here's three reasons why. One, the Atlanta Fed's GDP tracker is looking at Q4 growth above 4%. Above 4%, this is twice the pace the Fed says is non-inflationary. So while inflation has eased in the U.S., the question is how fast can it converge with the target? And with such strong growth, the Fed cannot be confident that it will be converging in a timely fashion. And the reason it needs to be timely is because the Fed is concerned that the longer inflation stays above target, the more it gets embedded into expectations, businesses and households, employees. Secondly, we know from the FOMC minutes, the Fed warned, cautioned against a premature easing of financial conditions. And that's exactly what's happened in the last 2 weeks. Rising stocks, falling yields, and a weaker dollar. Thirdly, I'd say that the market is still pricing in a Fed cut in Q4. I see the spread between the September and December Fed funds futures, 30 basis points. That is, the December yield is 30 basis points below the September yield. That seems to me only possible if you're thinking about a rate cut. And so a 50 basis point, so on one hand, people say the Fed will do 225 basis point hikes. I think that diminishes or minimizes too much the odds. The Fed does 50, and then that gives them greater flexibility and optionality. So I'd say that, again, the market's pricing in practically no chance of 50 basis points, and I think that the odds are somewhat greater.
Well, Mark, that would be interesting if they decided to hike 50 instead of 25 basis points. That would actually be a surprise And I wonder, would that put a wet blanket over this enthusiasm we've seen to kick off 2023? Because really, it's not just this year. It's not a 2023 story. This was a Q4 of 2022 story. When we saw the dollar rolling down, when we saw the yields coming back, the markets took off almost across the board. The commodities took off. If they were to raise 50 basis point hike on February 1st, do you think that would spike the dollar? Would that spike rates? And would that kind of smother the early year optimism that we've had so far?
Well, I think it could be. I mean, I think that sort of psychology is extreme right now. And so I think that it doesn't take much to push it away from it. And so I think that 50 basis points would be like a new, like a cold slap of reality. So, yeah, so I think that the markets are, it seems to me, would do for a correction, and that could be the trigger, but it's still a couple weeks away.
That is true. It's a couple weeks away. So, Mark, what do we need to focus on then? Understanding that we are just 2 weeks through the first, well, month of this year, but there seems to be a lot more optimism than how we saw last year start off. We all know how bad last year was. What should we be watching for to truly understand if there has been a longer-term change in direction, or if, quite frankly, this is nothing more than another dead cat bounce in a prolonged bear market?
Well, we do get some important data next week, I'd say, especially in the U.S., some growth numbers. But I think that ultimately, it's not so much Q4 data anymore. We really got to be looking at Q1 data. And there's nothing of great consequence in the next couple of weeks. So I think that'll force us to really pay more attention to what Fed officials are saying. But in general, I think that the economic data, like the surprises in Europe, have been to the upside. And the U.S., they've been sort of more sideways, sort of more balanced. And so I do think that the enthusiasm the market has right now is partly based on how pessimistic sort of recovery from the extreme pessimism. It's almost like, you know, you're driving along and you're fiddling with the radio and you accidentally like drift into the other lane. And our tendency is to overcorrect. And so from this extreme pessimism, the market's overcorrecting to this extreme optimism, and we still got to get back to the middle of the road.
Well, one more area that we're still trying to find the middle of the road on is commodity prices. So I'd still like to get your thought on how you see them setting up for this year, because the weaker dollar has actually been a boon for most of the metals, for agricultural commodities, and even the energy space has had a little bit of a bounce. But we're seeing the inflation data come down. At the same time, the commodities are starting to move up. How do you see us squaring that circle?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that this is the sort of the self-correcting nature of it, right? The weaker dollar helps lift commodity prices, so it helps export inflation. But at the same time, I think the real driver is China. And that, I think, could still be disappointing. You know, people are talking about some of the large cities already seeing more traffic, whether it's pedestrians or public transportation or even auto traffic. And I just wonder if we not get a second wave. And also, we forget China is such a large country that even if some of the cities overcome it earlier, which is still to be proven, just given the lack of transparency, it's hard to tell. But then it's the rural communities. And so I'm concerned that, like I say, some of that optimism on commodities coming from two sources, it seems to me, weaker dollar part of it, but the Chinese demand story. And I think that Chinese demand story needs to be questioned. And I think that we just need some evidence for it. And next week, China is releasing a lot of December economic data, and it's likely to be very soft.
All right, Mark, we'll wrap up the show here. Boy, oh boy, what an interesting start to the year. But you have thrown out some slightly different ideas here than what I'm sure a lot of people have been reading, even that what we have been hearing from some of our other guests. It sounds like we're just going to have to wait a few more weeks for that Fed meeting to see what the Fed does, if they surprise the market with a higher rate hike, and if that does put a cap on these moves up in a lot of sectors, especially early on this year. Mark, thank you as always for your time. We really appreciate you taking time to talk markets with us, usually on Fridays. And everybody, thank you for tuning in to this weekend edition. Please keep the emails coming to Shad and I. We love hearing from each and every one of you. And please make sure you go back, listen to those daily editorials and those company updates to share your thoughts on what you think of a lot of these companies. Mark, everybody, I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.